بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين العبد المعيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity once again to gather together and commemorate the sacrifice of Aba Abdullah. I've never seen a nation, a qawm, a group of people who anticipate grief like we do. I've never seen a nation or a group of people who actually prepare grief the way we do. The entire year, we've been going through the motions and we've been doing what we've been doing, but there's an emptiness inside of us that started after Ashura last year, and now with the arrival of the moon of Muharram is now slowly starting to get filled. Our lifeline, our bloodline, our inhale, our exhale is this Azadari. Our identity, our salvation, our solution, our courage, our hope is this Azadari. And now more so than ever, the need for us to become this Azadari in this world has become more relevant and will become more relevant year after year after year. We believe, maybe we don't, I don't know, but perhaps some of us do, we believe that what Imam Hussein did on the 61st of Hijri was a historical event, that we gather, we dress the walls in black, we dress ourselves in black, and we commemorate this historical fact, this event, and we move on with our life. Almost as if we believe that what he did on that day of Ashura was destroy Yazidiyat. He didn't. Yazidiyat today exists, as many of us know. What he did do was teach us, train us, tell us that when you are across, rubaru, right in front of Yazidiyat, how do you live and how do you die? Otherwise, those in the Islamic world today who have bowed their head down in front of the Yazidi Waqt are those people who don't even understand the path of Hussein ibn Ali. But you and I are not like that, alhamdulillah. We not only understand the path, but we run towards the path. When the month of Zilhajj is announced, the days of Ghadir Mubahala are upon us. Yes, we celebrate. We come in our best of clothes. We have manqabats, we have qasidas, we come out, we decorate the hall. But we know with the arrival of the Eid of Mubahala, we are a few days away from the arrival of the month of Muharram. And once that happens, ajib halat inside of us is created. Tears begin to gather on our eyelids. Our lips starts to begin to quiver ever so slowly. Our heart begins to thaw out and melt out. We actually look forward to the fact that when the announcement of the first of Muharram is there, I can pull out my black clothes, we can pull out our black chadars, and we can prepare ourselves now. Why? Because we're here at the door of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. And now throughout the year, this anticipation is over. We're here now. For 10 days, we're not going anywhere. We'll deny ourselves any tafri or entertainment. We won't even wear certain colors. Certain people don't eat meat in the first 10 days. Certain people don't sleep on their beds for the first 10 days. Certain people don't go to certain places in the first 10 days. All of this is khidmat service, no doubt. But the question that I want to ask tonight, being the first night of Muharram, is that enough? Is it enough for us to sacrifice all these things, or does Imam Hussein want more from us? In this day and age, does he want more from us? If that's the question, then what more does he want from us? Tonight will be an introductory speech. The topic that was announced, inshallah, we'll begin that tomorrow. Tonight, though, we create a little bit of a faza of Azadari. A little bit of the heart of Azadari, a little bit of the preparation to tread this path of Imam Hussein. Without our hearts being ready, nothing else will be. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Istiqbal Muharram wa za'if Muharram is a completely different topic altogether. You see, istiqbal in Arabic, in Urdu, and in Farsi all mean the exact same thing. Istiqbal is a two-avenue reality. Stay with me for a second, please. Istiqbal comes from the root word of qabala, correct? Those of you who have learned a little bit of Arabic, you know that it goes towards the bab istif'al. Istif'al is a lot like mufa'ila is. Bab mufa'ila tells us there has to be two parties for there to exist. For example, mubahila or munazira or mubahitha, for example, all of it tells us there has to be one person on one side and one person on the other side as well. A two-party system has to be there. For example, in mubahila that we celebrated last week, there was one group of the Ahlul Bayt and one group of the Christians of Najran. A munazira is a debate between two people. Me sitting up here for 45 minutes talking to you is not a munazira, it's a monologue. I'm speaking, you're listening. A munazara involves two different individuals. Istif'al is no different. Istiqbal requires two different individuals to come to. For example, this morning I arrived at Heathrow Airport. Brother Jabir was there, Brother Bilal was there to meet me. They did my istiqbal. If they came to the airport, I missed my flight, I wasn't there. They were there, but I wasn't there. Then that's not istiqbal. If I arrive in Heathrow and I don't see these individuals and nobody is there, I'm there, they're not there. Again, that's not istiqbal. Istiqbal is two forces, two entities meeting together to meet each other halfway. When we talk about istiqbal of Muharram, Muharram is here, Imam Hussein is here. The question is, have we come forward to meet Imam Hussein or not? The question is, have we done istiqbal? There is one who's mustaqbil and mustaqbal, right? One is a fa'il, one's a maf'ul. One is the doer of the act, one is the act being done to. We are the ones that are mustaqbil. We are the ones who are doing the istiqbal. Imam Hussein is a mustaqbal. He is the one who the istiqbal is being done to. His journey, his mission, his sacrifice on Day of Ashura, with all due respect to all of us, doesn't need us. We are the ones that need that azadari to survive. You see, the difference is very simple. Between haq and batil, between truth and falsehood. It's a very simple difference. Falsehood survives so long as there is followers for it. Correct? Batil, falsehood, does not survive by itself. So long as there are followers to support that fitna and that facade and that dhulm and that falsehood, it'll remain. The Namruds, the Fir'auns, the Yazids, the Saddams, all of them, one by one by one, survived as long as there were people beside them, cheering them on. The moment they left their side, they self-destructed. The Quran says what? Inna batla kana zahuqa. In the essence of falsehood, in its essence, is its own destruction. Understand this, please, for a moment. In the essence of falsehood is its own destruction. The one thing keeping that falsehood alive are its followers. But Haqq is not like that. Haqq by itself stands alone. Whether you follow Haqq or not follow Haqq, it doesn't affect Haqq by itself. If you have tawfiq to follow that path of Haqq, that's your taraqi, that's your pishraft, that's your elevation. Not that you have added Haqq to the path of Haqq. Imam Hussein's path is a path of Haqq and salvation. We are the ones that have the tawfiq and that blessing to be able to tread that path of Haqq in these first 10 days. I ask you, I ask myself, these first 10 days, if we allow it, can revolutionize our communities. We can elevate ourselves. We can break from the chains of rusumat and adat and habit and actually understand and apply Imam Hussein's mission. What we cannot do is the injustice that some people do and leave Imam Hussein in history, in the books, to be a person to commemorate, to cry for, to grieve over, to send a few tweets out maybe, to download a few new nohas, and then that's it. Come Ashura, we go back to where we came from. That is a grave injustice to Aba Abdullah. Imam Hussein didn't give his life for that. Imam Hussein didn't give his life for anything else. In fact, sometimes we believe that his death is to be honored, and it is. We have to understand that his death is a symbol of the life that he lived. Look, I'll give you a very simple example. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. We read in Zat al-Waritha that after he is the warith of Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim, it gets to a point where we say, Assalamu alayka ya waritha Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's interesting to note, and it's not my topic, but just very briefly, it's interesting to note that the first six lines of Zat al-Waritha, they mention every single prophet by name. Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, even our last prophet by name. But when it comes time for them to describe that Imam Hussein is the warith of Ali, they don't use Ali ibn Abi Talib, they use Amir al-Mu'mineen. Meaning he is the inheritor of those entire encompassing qualities that Amir al-Mu'mineen had. Amir al-Mu'mineen has all these qualities, Imam Hussein is the warith, the inheritor of those qualities. Let's examine for a moment Imam Ali's death and life. After the war of Badr, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he's giving a khutbah to the families of the shuhada of the Jung of Badr. And he congratulates them. He says, your sons and your fathers and your husbands and your brothers have attained shahadat in Islam. They've attained the ultimate level of the razayat of Allah. You should be very proud of the fact that you are involved and connected to such an individual who is a shaheed of Islam. And the more he would praise the shuhada after the khutbah, he would hear Imam Ali crying in the corner. Our Prophet says, Ya Ali, why do you cry? He says, Ya Rasulullah, why didn't Allah choose me to be a shaheed in Badr? The Prophet began to cry and says that, Ali, there'll come a time when your white beard will be stained with your own blood. You will also taste shahadat as well. And the one question Amir al-Mu'mineen asked, he said, Ya Rasulullah, when I taste that shahadat, when my white beard is dripping with my own blood, will I have yaqeen in Islam the way I have it now? He says, yes, you will. That's why if we look at the musibat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was struck with that sword of Ibn Muljim, la'natullah alayh, it's at that moment that what does he announce? His kamiyabi. Understand this point, please. We read it every single year in Masaid. He, the moment he struck with that sword, he realized that this was that moment of shahadat that the Prophet prophesies after the war of Badr. It's then that he announces what? Fustu Rabbil Kaaba. I swear by the Lord of this Kaaba, this Ali is now kamiyab. He's successful. Amir al-Mu'mineen, with all due respect, Badr, you killed 70 kuffar. That's not success. In Khandaq, you killed the giant of the Arabs, Amr ibn Abdawud. When nobody had the himmah to rise up, Ali rose up 3 times. In Khaybar, you ripped that door of Khaybar. That's not success. In Ghadir, you're 33 years old. Man kuntu mawla was not success. All of that was not success. What was success is the idea that this mal'oon saw me as a thorn on the path of his movement, and so he killed me out of the fact that I am on the path of Haq. The fact that I was able to maintain my iman and my purity and my taqwa all throughout, such that I am the victim of someone like Ibn Muljim's sword, is an announcement of my success. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi says that if shaitan adds you as a blip to his radar, know that you are on Salat al-Mustaqim. A lot of our youth ask us, shaitan is always in my ear, constantly whispering in my ear, always challenging me. When will he leave you alone? And I tell them that he'll never leave you alone. That's his job. He promised Allah that I will misguide your creation. But the moment that shaitan stops whispering inside of you, the moment that shaitan stops working against you, you should be concerned. That means that shaitan doesn't want to waste his time on you. You're already part of his army. The moment that shaitan keeps whispering at you and poking you and prodding you and pulling you towards him, know that I'm doing something that shaitan doesn't like. Otherwise, he wouldn't waste his time on me. Ali announces his success. He realized that at that moment, I was on the path of Haqq, and I remained on that path of Haqq. Imam Hussein's death, his shahadat, as honorable as it is the best reflection of the way the man lived. Sometimes we believe we've learned from Imam Hussein how to die. We haven't learned how to die from Imam Hussein. We've learned how to live from Imam Hussein. And because we know how to live from Imam Hussein, the death of shahadat, the way that he's earned it, is a natural consequence of living on the path of Haqq. That's why we commemorate the shuhada of today, and we celebrate the shuhada of today. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now you've put me on the minbar, and you put such a small clock in front of me that I can't see. You should know that when an alim is on the minbar, he forgets how to tell time. He doesn't know how to tell time. I don't even know what time it is right now. So inshallah, an hour and a half, 2 hours inshallah, will be done. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You'll get used to my humor inshallah. We're here for 10 days, get comfortable. Our service to Imam Hussein is very, very important. You see, today what's happening is this, and this is why the importance of awareness, agahi, and the insight, basirat, are very, very important. What's happening today is this, that Islam is being presented as a very exclusive deen. The religion of the Takfiri group, the religion of Daesh, the religion of Baghdadi, the religion of the Taliban, the Islam that's being presented in the media is a very exclusive Islam. Either you are with us or you are dead. That's how it is. A young brother in Toronto from Iraq would tell me that, Sayyid, they would look at your head or your chest sometimes. If they see marks on your head or on your chest, they know that you're Shia. At that moment, there's no discussion or debate or theological arguments talking about why your deen, your madhab is different from. No, it's wajib al-qatl. They kill you on the spot. It's very, very exclusive. And the deen is presented like that, and the masses who don't know any better accept Islam like that. Whereas the deen of Islam is not exclusive, it's inclusive. Look at the event of Mubahila. When the Christian scholar, the Christian priest sees these five individuals walking towards them, he surrenders. He doesn't even allow Mubahila to even occur. It's a very ajeeb Eid, Mubahila is. Mubahila is the only Eid where nothing happens and yet we celebrate the Eid. Ghadir happens, Mantutumullah, we celebrate Eid. Qurbani happens, we celebrate Eid. The month of Ramadan happens, we celebrate Eid. The sheer presence of the Ahlul Bayt was enough for the enemy to say, I will not do Mubahala with these five individuals. The sheer presence was enough for them to say that we are defeated. But at that moment when they said that we are defeated, the Prophet of Allah did not say to them, now convert to the Deen of Islam. He says, no, you have your belief, you have your path, I respect your religion. But because you're living under the Islamic government, you have to pay a jizya, Islamic tax. No problem. Meaning what? That it is very inclusive. We believe when the Imam of our time comes, everybody will become Shia. Not the case. It's wrong. It's wrong. And we think these kids, I was in Toronto at a Sunday school class. I tell you no lie, a 9-year-old child comes to me and says, Sayyid, please don't beg and don't pray for the Imam to come. I said, why? He said, every time I hear about the Imam coming, they have this picture of him with a sword. He'll come in, start chopping off, killing people. There'll be blood everywhere. I don't like that picture in my head. It scares me. It's very violent to me. I don't want the Imam to come. I don't want to face that gory scene. This is what we've reduced the Imam of our time to come in and start killing people one by one. Is that what Islam is? Is that how the Prophet did it? Imam Hussein's mission, the Prophet of Allah's mission, Imam Zaman's mission, all the exact same mission. Let me also make one point here as well. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. So much to say, so much to say, such little time, so much to say. We believe also, incorrectly, I'm trying to get the minds, my mind, my heart ready for tomorrow, the first of Muharram. Tonight is an intro discussion. Let's get our hearts ready. The walls are ready, the clothes are ready, our hearts are not there yet. We believe for a moment that every imam is different. We even categorize imams to be more important and less important. We've even categorized imams, astaghfirullah, to be imams such that if they were in a different era, they would do something differently. For example, if you have an alim or an organization or a masjid, that's, they don't talk much against dhulm. They don't rock the boat a little bit. They're a little bit sus, they're relaxed. They don't talk about these things on the member. We call it the Hassani approach. If you have a speaker who's fiery, who's waving his arms, who's yelling and screaming in the mic, we call him Husseini. And we think, wah, what a kya baat hai. It's an insult to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. What, do we think that if had Imam Hassan existed on the day of Ashura, he would do anything different than what Imam Hussein did? Do we believe for a moment that had Imam Hassan been on the day of Ashura, he would do sulh with Yazid? Is that what we believe? Please, my brothers and my sisters, those are my sisters who are listening, mashallah. I ask you, please understand, the imams are one nur amongst 12 bodies. You can copy and paste them all you want. They will do exactly what the other imam did in the exact same situation. Calling one alim Hassani or one revolution Hassani and Husseini is incorrect. You put Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba on the day of Ashura, he will do exactly what his brother did. Don't make that mistake, please. For the right of the imams, do not make that mistake. It's very, very important that we understand this. Now back to our point. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. The approach is exclusive versus inclusive. Let me give you one hadith from the life of our fifth imam. It's a beautiful tradition. What is our wazifa? What is the wazaif of Muharram this year? We have to revive the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Correct? They're being destroyed right now. The world believes that we are not a part of the deen. And those who are part of the deen believe that we are outside of the deen. And we are wajib biqatl. There are fatwas being done against us from people who are not even qualified to give fatwas, by the way. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu was salam. The tradition says that one day he planted the seeds of wheat. He would grow that wheat, he'd convert that wheat into dough, he would knead that wheat, that dough, he would bake bread from that dough. Please follow me, my youth especially. A lot of confusion, and there's news from everywhere, and our youth are stuck in the middle. They have no idea what to think, how to think. I don't blame them. From the seed until the bread, everything was done by our fifth imam. Those of you who have been to Imam Ravza's Haram in Mashhad, you know that when you go to Imam Ravza's Haram, there's a dastakhan there, correct? There's a lunch there that they feed the Zawar who are non-Iranian every single day. And a lot of us go there, we eat the food, and we break off pieces from the naan or roti, and we take that back home. And every so often, one luqme for the barakat of Imam Ravza. We do that. That is the naan and the bread that's baked inside the haram of Imam Ravza. This is bread that's baked by the hands of our fifth imam. There's a big difference. And the companions would ask our fifth imam that, Yabna Rasulullah, with all due respect, we can do this. Why are you doing all this zahmat? He says, I take this bread and I go to those non-Islamic communities and I feed them this bread with the hopes and du'as that maybe the asar, the barakah, the effect of this bread might give them tawfiq to come onto the path of Islam. Look at the exclusive nature of Islam today. Either you're with us or you are dead. And the inclusive message of the Ahlul Bayt, where they are trying to inspire you, guide you, give you tawfiq by feeding you food that they have baked with their own hands. Where is the deen today? The deen has gone somewhere else. And Imam Hussein time and time again is telling us that I don't want maqam, I don't want government, I don't want power, I don't want money, I don't want anything. I'm going for the islah of the ummah of my grandfather. Nothing else matters. That islah is needed today. That reform is needed today. One more point and then towards Masaib. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, please. Understand this very carefully. History has a funny way sometimes of doing what? Repeating itself. There are two groups of people in history. Please follow me very carefully here. After this masab, then we're done, inshallah. Two groups of people, the Ahl Madinah and the Ahl Kufa. Let's examine these two groups very, very quickly. You know that in the time of the Holy Prophet, there was two tribes, the Khazraj and the Aus tribe, who lived in Yathrib. Yathrib was the name of Medina before it was called Medina. And they were two individuals that were arch enemies of each other. If one camel from one tribe ate the grass of the house of another tribe, that would instigate a war of 100 years. The Oj of Jahalat. The head of the Khazraj tribe comes to Rasulullah in Mecca after he heard about this man in Mecca announcing the fact that I am the Prophet of Allah. He comes to him and says, I've heard that you have declared yourself to be the Prophet of Allah. We have this problem. I'm tired of burying my dead. I'm tired of fighting with this tribe. What do I do? He says, it's very simple. Accept Islam and you have your solution. He says, okay, let me take your message back to my tribe, but I want you to send me an ambassador with me to represent you in Yathrib. He sends who? Mus'ab ibn Amir, 18 years old, a message for my youth and my elders. The Prophet of Allah used to always choose the most young individual for the most delicate of tasks. Bilal was the first Mu'addin of Islam. Bilal was 18 years old. Ja'far al-Tayyar, the first Muballigh of Islam, was 22 years old. Amir al-Mu'minin, when he was kullu iman in Khandaq, was 27 years old. He never looked at age. He looked at taqwa and piety. Even on the day of Ghadir, when Ali was 33 years old, and the senior companions, those who were old and white hair, would come and say, Ya Rasulullah, this Ali is your successor. He's a kid. The Prophet says, I never look at age. I look at the hearts of that individual. The Arabs would sit there and say, look at Bilal, he's giving the adhan. He can't even pronounce sheen. He would say, Asadu an la ilaha illallah. And the Arabs would go crazy and say, Ya Rasulullah, at least the adhan give it to us. It's in Arabic. He says very famously that don't you know that when Bilal says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Allah on his arsh hears Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So we talk about this idea. Now he sends what? An 18-year-old child to Yathrib. What did that 18-year-old do? He converted both tribes to Islam, number one. Number two, he led the first Jamaat prayer in Yathrib before that migration. And he sent that very famous letter to Rasulullah saying, look, these people want you to leave Mecca and come towards Medina and establish your government in Medina. And the Prophet would tell the tribes that I appreciate your invitation. Thank you very much. But until Mus'ab gives me the green light, I am not going to make this migration. The Prophet of Allah depended on the verdict of an 18-year-old child to give him the green light to make this very famous migration from Mecca to Medina that our Islamic calendar is based on. We sometimes believe 18 years, bachcha hai yaar, and we smack him. Or he walks into this masjid, he has a very funky haircut, ajib libas, and we think, oh, he's gumrah. He's not qabil hidayat. Haath se nikal gaya bachcha. If you knew the story of Mus'ab ibn Amir and his history, you'd be shocked that the Prophet sent that individual. Anyways, after that letter was sent from Mus'ab to the Holy Prophet, the Prophet made that very famous migration from Mecca to Medina. And he established the Islamic government in Medina after these two tribes that were on the old of Jahalat accepted Islam, changed themselves, and now they have the honor of hosting the Prophet of Allah for that government. That's one group. Come to the Ahl-e Kufa. All of you have heard the history. 25,000 letters were written to Abu Abdullah. 25,000 letters saying, Mawla, we are yateem. Mawla, we don't accept Yazid as our Khalifa. Please come, please come. Had Imam Hussein said this, that you, the Kufans, are asking me for help, you have the audacity and the himmah to ask me. You killed my father. You left my brother aside. And now you're coming to me asking me for help? But nowhere do we ever see Abu Abdullah say that for once. What did he do? The Prophet sent Mus'ab. Imam Hussein sent Muslim. Now go and see what's going on. They came to his house. They gave bay'at in his hand. He wrote that letter just like Mus'ab did. That Abu Abdullah, Imam Hussein, they're ready for you. Come to Karbala. If only Muslim didn't write that letter. But we know what happened. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad comes to Kufa. He threatens their life, threatens their livelihood. Tells them, if you side with Hussein, your Mar, your John, your Abru, everything is done. Not one person was left with Muslim. Both parties, one said, Ya Rasulullah, come to us for help. One group says, Ya Hussein, come to us for help. One group did Islah. They had the honor to host the Holy Prophet. One did not do Islah. And they are zalil ila yawm al-qiyamah. The difference is Islah and reform. Every single day we say what? Wa'ajjil farajahum. Wa'ajjil farajahum. Wa'ajjil farajahum. We're calling the Imam like they called the Prophet. We're calling the Imam like they called Imam Hussein. And my fear is that when the Imam comes, either will be the Ahl-e Medina or the Ahl-e Kufa. It's all about the Islah of yourself, reforming yourself, changing yourself, understanding that it's not just lip service that we're saying, wa'ajjil farajahum. If he comes, are we ready? Well, let's be careful. Tonight is the night of the first of Muharram. And usually, when a mother loses her son, we go to her house, we send her condolences, we talk to her about her son, we give her bursa, we do ta'rif of the son, we tell her what a good job you did of tarbiyat and bringing up that child of yours. And that usually happens when there is one son. But how do you give bursa to Fatima Zahra when she loses her entire khandan in one day? Where do you start? Do you start at that fateful moment on the 2nd of Muharram when Aba Abdullah entered the land of Karbala, when his horse wouldn't move and they changed the horse 7 times and the horse still wouldn't move? He got off the horse, he saw the Bani Yasad, he asked them one by one, what is the name of this place? Some said Naynawah, some said Shatul Farat. There was an old man from the back and said, Imam Hussein, my ajdad used to call this place Karbala. He says, Abbas, pitch up the tents. This is where we will have our maqam. When Imam Hussein talked to the Bani Yasad tribe, he first talked to the men. He said, look, there's going to be a war here. We are going to be killed, trampled. If you can, please, just bury our bodies one by one. He went to the women of the Bani Yasad tribe. He said, if your men are not able to bury us, then all of you women collectively, please just dig one grave and just place our bodies in that grave. And then he went to the children of the Bani Yasad tribe. He said, if your fathers, if your mothers are not able to bury us with your small hands, just simply pick up khak and place it on our bodies. Do we give bursa to Fatima tonight for that? Or do we get bursa for that moment when Ali Akbar comes to Aba Abdullah and says, Baba, please give me ijazat to fight. And when he was on that horse and he made his way towards the Maidan of Karbala, Ali Akbar says, I could hear somebody following me beside me. He stops in Zuljanah, gets off the horse, looks behind him. A 57-year-old Bab is running towards his Jawan son. He says, Baba, you gave me ijazat. He says, if only you were sahib al-Aulad, if only you had a son like I have in Ali Akbar, you would know how difficult this moment is as you're going towards the Maidan of Karbala. If you can, every so often, look back towards me, because every time I saw you, I remembered my grandfather. Do we give bursa tonight for that moment, or do we give bursa for that moment when Allama Majlisi narrates? What does Majlisi narrate? He says, I read the Masaib of Abu Al-Fazl al-Abbas, and in that night Shahzadi came in my dream. She said, Majlisi, you read the Masaib of my Abbas, but you didn't read the Musibat of my Abbas. So Shahzadi, what's the Musibat? I read whatever I could. I read the Masaib. You did, but not the Musibat, Majlisi. What is that Musibat? She said, whoever listens to the Musibat of my Abbas, tell them that when someone falls from a horse, they use their hands to break their fall. My Abbas didn't have hands to break his fall. He fell on that deer that was lodged in his eye. Our condolences, Shahzadi Qunain, tonight. for the arrival of the month of Muharram. We promise you, Shahzadi, we will do everything we can to do justice to your son. We promise you that our men will cry for his men, our women will cry for his women, our youth and kids will cry for their kids. There will not be a single dry eye. And that promise that your father made the day Imam Hussein was born, there'll be a nation that will be born that will mourn for your son. We are that nation, Shahzadi. We are that nation. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept this qaleel ibadat, inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so much bloodshed, tyranny, injustice in the world. We ask you, Allah, there is one Hussein who's in Ghaybat. We ask you, Allah, to hasten that reappearance of Imam Zamana and make us his Ansar and his Ashab when he comes, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.